TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast 119, and I am Libby, your host. And this week we have returning guests.
Peter from West Hollywood.
And Ronnie from Vegas.
I love it when Ronnie calls in from Vegas. All right, it makes me feel special. This week in the news, first up, we have that Unforgettable has been uncanceled. Unforgettable, uncanceled. And picked up for the summer of 2013 for half a season. So CBS is now getting into the summer programming, because I know ABC has had some summer shows and NBC has summer shows and all the other networks have summer shows, but I kind of get a feeling this is the first time CBS has really ventured into it. They've pretty much depended on the repeats and reality shows for their summer programming. So anyway, I don't know.
I haven't watched it before, and I'm not going to watch it when it comes back.
I was just thinking, I mean, granted, if it's in the summer and there's nothing else to watch, then maybe. Like, the show's so blah. Did you watch it at all, Peter? No? All right.
No.
It wasn't really that exciting. But I'm sure there are people out there who are excited. TNT has put in their pickups. They've picked up Dallas and Rizzoli and Isles for another season.
People like Dallas.
I've heard.
Dallas is okay. I just haven't seen it.
Well, I mean, I think if you were into Dallas originally, I think it really works.
No.
I don't know if it works for a person who's never seen Dallas. I personally was a Dynasty person.
I like Dynasty too.
So yeah. I'm like, yeah, let's do Dynasty again. All right. And A&E has picked up Longmire for a second season. So we've already been renewed. Yay!
Yay! Good!
Yeah. Well, I only saw the pilot, so I thought it was okay.
Well, then it's not awful. Then
you it's not awful. I'm not. I'm like, all right. You know, like
I know.
You
know. I appreciate the your lack of enthusiasm. Your lack of enthusiasm, I find disturbing. All right, so let's move on to the news. Not the news. We just did the news. Let's move on to the shows. That's what I meant to say.
Here we go. Yes.
All right. First up, we have True Blood.
Actually, this was the best one so far of the season.
In that you mean that Christopher Maloney was shirtless?
Well, there was that for you, but it was more just, I don't know, I thought the episode flowed better, and we got more of characters I like, you know, Pam and Jessica and stuff, and I don't know, I haven't really liked this season at all. I've been like, oh, this season's terrible, I don't know why I'm still watching this, but I don't know, I thought it was a fun episode, and I liked, I'm curious to see when Jessica finally catches up to, I'm assuming it's a fairy,
yeah,
the guy, which is like, oh, that smell, like, so, and it was interesting to see... I kind of like...
Oh, but what's weird is she doesn't react around Suki that way. Oh, but that guy's actually a pure fairy, so never mind.
Well, there you go. Answered your own question.
Yes.
I liked when Jason didn't want to sleep with her, and she says something about, I'm just going to put my sweats on and we'll hang out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's nice.
Well, that is the Jessica I like and remember.
Right. Me too.
And
so
she's
weird. And I did like her telling off the snotty girl at the store. Remember, she's... picking the outfit at first.
Right, right.
And she's like, the girl's like dissing on Jason or something like that. And like, that was pretty good. Like, so yeah, I liked all that. Oh, and of course the big moment was when I liked seeing when Alcide says something to Suki about her being brave but not smart, which to me is pretty much the epitome of that character. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much right. But I liked when he finds out what they did to Tara. And he gets really upset because he's like, you know, I trust you with everything. And, you know, you didn't even trust me with this. Oh, the fact that he killed, or that she killed the woman. I'm sorry what the woman's name is.
Debbie.
But basically his old.
Debbie.
Debbie. His old ex or whatever. Like, but I thought that was he was right to say all that and everything.
Well,
so,
and then she has a stupid look on her face. Like, so are you going to tell anybody? I'm like, oh my God, you suck. Well, first of all, either don't tell him or tell him. And if you tell him, you have to trust him.
Right.
And you can't do both, where you tell him, but then you don't trust him.
Right.
So that was just like, I don't care about that storyline at all. What you haven't really talked about is the boys, which is they both ended up sleeping with the same woman, Eric and Bill. they were both seduced
by the
council
that was
member.
Good. I didn't mind that.
Well, and the thing is, they can't, they're like, okay, this is great, that seat of the elevator, and Eric is all happy, and they basically...
He's like, yeah, guess who I banged this afternoon, I know. Or something like that, yeah.
And they both realize it's the same woman, and then they went, huh, well, that's less interesting. And then Bill made it a point that he got there first.
I
and
noticed
I was
that,
like,
too.
I was like, really,
yeah.
Bill?
Yeah, yeah. Sloppy seconds. Yeah, I noticed that. I also liked that the girl from Veronica Mars, who's had a smaller one, Veronica Mars, she's the one who puts their new little brace on.
Yes.
So they... Actually, that's a pretty good idea for the government to control. It's just like, in a, you know, it's, and there's an app for it or whatever.
I know! Like, yeah. That was so that's great. Good. She's like, yes, right. And there's an app for that.
Which we know how much apps crash. So that's probably not good that it's hooked up to an app, but... But overall, I mean, I'm not saying it's great, but it was good. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Well, I like that. I like that storyline. I'm very selective, and notice we didn't mention the storylines that were stupid.
Well, right, right. Like, I don't really care about the.
Well, I literally fast forward when I see them.
Oh yeah, I don't really. You know, it's weird. A lot of shows, I don't do that. Like, I know a lot of people do that. Like, I feel like if I'm going to commit, I commit, and I might not like it, but like I'll commit to it and be like, all right.
Well, this is so.
No, wait. Now that doesn't mean that I'm not. When Balfour or whatever comes up, that doesn't mean that I'm not on the computer going, all right, what's new in the box office? Like, that, that doesn't mean that, but I don't literally fast forward it. So I might tune out a little. That's true.
I'm just, because this show is so uneven, that's the only reason why I feel like it's legitimate. Ronnie?
Oh, no, I didn't watch.
Okay.
Ronnie, do you have HBO?
I don't.
Oh, okay. Because then the next show, oh, wait. Well, the next show was available on iTunes. Did you see our next show that we're going to talk about?
Oh, I didn't realize it.
I didn't know it was
on iTunes?
No, I didn't know that.
For free.
Yeah, the opening is amazing.
So we are, of course, talking about Aaron Sorkin's The Newsroom.
Yes, and next up is...
And next up is Aaron Sorkin's The Newsroom.
Thank you.
I had heard a little mixed reviews coming into this, and I'm a huge Aaron Sorkin fan, so I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, maybe it's not going to be... Great, although I like Studio 60, so I was like, well, I pretty much like everything he does. And I thought it was a really good pilot. I mean, if anybody had seen the trailer, the opening segment scene is...
He's doing an interview.
What's the character's name? Oh, it's not McNally, that's Rookie Blue. It's something with a Mick, though, right?
I don't remember.
Oh, McAvoy. McAvoy. So Mike McAvoy, Jeff Daniels plays Mike McAvoy, is a veteran reporter, now anchor and stuff, and he's being asked at some college... it looks like it's a college.
Well, it's like a little
thing.
Press conference interview.
Right, there's a Republican and a liberal, and there's a moderator, and he's in the middle. And the moderator's like, you're the Jay Leno of news people because you always refuse to take a stand.
No, Jay Leno made the comment about him that said that he...
No, people call him the Jay Leno. That's what they say. They say you're the Jay Leno of, like, news. Not
I thought
the
he
Jay
said.
Leno.
I thought Jay Leno actually said that he doesn't offend
anyone.
No,
and then
he
they
told
just
a
say,
joke.
No.
But anyway.
Well, anyways, the point is that he's milquetoast or whatever, that he's, you know, he never takes a stand and everything.
Right.
And then finally, and one, you know, a kind of bubbly college girl says, can you tell us, the answers for everybody, or the questions for everybody, can you tell us why America is the best country on the planet? And the Republican says, freedom, freedom, freedom. And what does the liberal say?
I don't even remember. Was
it's something
anything?
Probably a little
something
more thoughtful, but not as much. Yeah. And then, of course, he doesn't want to answer.
He tries not. He really tries not to. But then he loses his mind.
And his answer is, it's not the greatest country, and I'll tell you why. And it's great. It's just so...
That whole speech was fantastic.
That speech, I could listen. I watched it twice. I was like, I gotta watch that scene again. Like that, yeah, just his, you know, I don't know what the bleep you're talking about is what he basically says, you know.
If you
ever happen to run into a voting booth by accident, you know, we're sixth in literacy, we're both, you know, so.
That was a really great speech. You don't have to actually recite the
right,
speech.
Right, but that basically sets off the premise
of
the
show. Willing to.
Right. That basically sets off the insight into the show.
You don't have to sum up the show.
But,
we're just talking about
but
it.
But I really liked it, though. I really think that, like, all the characters. I mean, it's very much like broadcast news, which I love broadcast news. So, yeah. The only thing I would say is the pilot doesn't show you in the trailer. We saw Jane Fonda, Olivia Munn.
Yeah, you don't see all those.
We haven't seen them yet. So, like, I'm assuming we'll see them next episode or something.
The thing I do like about the show is after that speech or whatever, he goes on vacation. He comes back and half of his
staff
is gone. Like, they've all quit, and he thinks like somebody stole them. And it's like, no, you're a jerk. And they all left because they hate you.
Right.
And he goes, no, I'm likable. And they're like, no, really, you're not.
Right. And then the surprise, of course, is that Sam Waterston, who's from Law and Order, right? Is that where that guy's from? The older guy.
Yes.
So he, yes. At the end, we find out that he actually has been on his side. He's been waiting for something like this to happen to make news,
interesting and real again.
Right. So he's actually in his corner. But being in his corner means he has to work with his, is it his ex?
Yeah, that's his ex-girlfriend, who apparently, I think what we're supposed to infer is that they were together for a long time, they did the whole I love you thing, and then she got a better assignment somewhere, and she just left him.
Right.
And he did not get over that at all. No. It was a bad breakup. But she's back, and she wants to work with him, but of course, that's going to be the whole romance story, which, of course, is very Studio 60.
Yes, totally.
Something very similar.
Yeah, because I don't think West Wing right away start, because they do have romances and stuff, but they didn't start off that way.
Right.
No, so yeah, I would agree.
I think that's
Studio 60 is very much, he had a relationship with this woman and now she's here.
Right.
Everything. Like, so that's
very,
true.
Very similar.
That is a similar thing.
But I actually like these two actors better. Like, I really feel
I liked Bradley Whitford?
I like Bradley Whitford.
I like Matthew Perry.
But Matthew Perry, I didn't like him as well in the whole relationship thing because I didn't actually.
Well, no, I mean, Jeff Daniels is a better actor.
That's
too.
My point.
But I was like, I thought Matthew Perry was good. I thought Matthew Perry was good on Studio 60. I'm just giving credit.
I like Studio
all.
60. Yeah, okay, I think he was good, but I think that this
Jeff Daniels
is better.
Such a rascal of a character, and he's so angry and so like bitter. It's just. He's just very interesting. He's
I'm just
surprised that other people I know who lean left and lean right have been very mixed on it. Been very like, oh, it's too preachy. And my thing was, not preachy enough. Like, I wish I could just sit and listen to that guy talk like for the whole 50 minutes. Well, actually, it was like a 70 minute episode. But like, I just find the character so interesting and stuff. Like, so yeah, I can't wait.
Thumbs up if you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
that was thumbs up for Newsroom. Yes.
Yeah, I think there's some enthusiasm going on there.
Ronnie should check it out. It's on iTunes. The pilot's for free, so you should definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that opening sequence is totally worth it.
Definitely.
Next up, Ronnie can finally talk. We're going to talk about Longmire.
It's like, this was like not my favorite episode so far, but it was, you know, because it was an episode where what happened is initially a guy out fishing finds two dead bodies.
Of course. Well, I mean, that's how every cop procedural starts.
You know, and then it's sort of like, and as it unfolds, you know what I mean, to find out, like, actually one was from the reservation, one of the Native Americans. And so for me, what I enjoy the most. And it unfolds into being about a drug cartel coming up from Mexico is why you think that the killings took place. But then eventually there's a ranger, a park ranger, and he ends up being the one who caused everything to happen.
Right. So it was the cartel just came to investigate what the heck happened to their drugs. They weren't involved in it initially. But what I actually think, because that's all the whole cop procedural portion. What I thought was really interesting was when they find out that kid from the reservation is dead, Lou Diamond Phillips is like, I knew the mom, I knew the family, I knew him since he was a kid. He was like, let me do the notification. And the emotion in that scene, like before he goes to do the notification and after he does notification, like all of that was just really kind of moving.
Definitely.
Yeah, that was really good. And
that was like my favorite part of the episode.
And I also like that the woman, the new neighbor or whatever, she thought that Longmire's hot. And so she keeps flirting with him. And he's like, his brain is just kind of like, wait, what's going on? Like, he can't really connect what's happening. And she keeps touching him on his hand. And he's like, what? And then it has like Starbuck. I do have to know her name at some point, what her character name is. But
Vic.
Okay. So she keeps telling, she's like, yeah, the woman totally likes you. She's trying to ask you out, you know? And he's like, and he is in such denial about it. He's like, well, stop telling her to come down here and hit on me. He's like, and then she's like, I had nothing to do with it. So that was really cute. And you really see how their relationship or their interaction works. But I do feel the other thing they're building up to is I think he's going to end up finding out that his daughter's dating that guy he hates. I feel like
that's
because that's building like the guy, they're saying they're fighting all the time, so it looks like they're going to have like either a big breakup or something. Something big enough is going to happen that it's going to get back to him who his daughter is with.
Right. I mean, that's got to come out eventually. And I think the thing with Longmire, like you said, I like sort of like those pieces where you see the characters and the development and understanding the characters better. The one thing I want them to watch out for is with the cases, because, you know, I mean, this one was actually kind of complicated. And I thought, you know, the ranger who, like, came, you know, he was from Afghanistan and brought back the, you know, sort of the marijuana from there.
Yeah, and you had to pay attention that he had military background. Yeah.
Right.
They were trying to make it a complicated case. Well, I mean, right. I give them points for attempting to make their procedural, like, kind of interesting so that you don't know who the killer is immediately. I give them points for that, but that's not why I'm watching the show, though.
And same here. So, like, I'm thinking, like, but even, like, last week there was, like, this big twist and everything else, and I think, you know, let the characters, you know, stick to that part of it, and I think I would enjoy it even more. You know what I mean? Because, again, I think we're on the same page about watching it more for the character development versus the case of the week.
Right. If I wanted to watch Case of the Week, I'd watch Mentalist. They do it better. But, anyway.
Yes.
Next up, let's talk about Eureka.
Eureka. We finally see the honeymoon, or the attempt at a honeymoon.
Oh, my God. That was the worst honeymoon ever. First, the first thing that should have been a clue is, who has a surprise honeymoon where the bride doesn't know anything about what's going to happen? Like, that alone should have been, like, rings, you know, like, alarm bells. It's like, you cannot plan a honeymoon without
Well, but
bride.
If the bride had something that she thought was... I mean, I haven't seen this episode, I haven't seen the show, except for the pilot, but if it was some dream of hers to do something that she never thought she was going to do, that could be a good surprise.
Except that he didn't do that. Like, she very clearly said what she wanted to do for her honeymoon, and he did the inverse.
What did she want to do for the honeymoon?
She wanted to go to, like, Maui, some nice island resort.
So a resort.
Fiji, yeah, that was
so what did he do?
Yeah. He took her about 10 miles out of town in the middle of the woods to this cabin that needed to be fixed, and made her like, you know, those, the tool set thing, like the tool band you wear. He made one with her name on it, and he planned a big romantic dinner, and for their honeymoon, they were going to fix up the cabin. It was an awful idea.
Wait, so what was her response?
Yeah.
Oh, she said it was an awful idea. She was not happy.
So what does he say?
Well, he was like, you know, give it a chance, whatever, and he was really, you know, earnest about it and how important it was that he wanted them to build. He said the reason that his last marriage failed was because they didn't have a foundation. And he was like, literally, let's build a foundation of something that we build together that that will be our foundation. Which she was like, okay, that was sweet. So she was like, all right, fine. But then everything went wrong. It rained. The roof fell in. The water turned to mud. Just like everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. And finally, he admitted defeat. He was like, yeah, this sucks. Let's go to Maui or whatever.
Well, so she gets the honeymoon.
Well, she actually, no, they ended up, because there was a crisis at the thing, or at work, because they were only 10 miles away, they ended up getting pulled into the crisis. But then at the end, they were like, all right, let's rebuild this thing.
So does the episode end with them? They're about, now they are going to go on some.
No, it ends with them rebuilding the cabin, like scratch.
Oh, so she came around.
She did, but man.
But you still feel like she's owed Maui.
Yes, he owes her big time. He owes her big time. For her to get a mud shower.
Who's who? Just curious, because I've seen the show. I saw the pilot. Is it the main character who got married?
Yes. I'm not going to tell you who. You've only seen the pilot.
You just told me it's the main character, so now I know. It's the sheriff.
Yeah, I know he gets married, but I'm not telling you. I'm not going to tell you who.
Oh, interesting.
Right, you got to watch
it. Watch it a little
girl?
Bit.
No. What is his daughter? No. I'm kidding. Is this Game of Thrones? No.
What was at the massive...
The only thing good about the cabin is that that's like sort of what brought in the other storyline, because while they were looking in the cabin, they found a safe. And in the safe were a paper that came back.
That's right. They found the traitor thing. Yes.
Yes.
And that actually leads to the fact that we're in the wrong universe. I forgot that they were in the wrong universe. And that actually, like, the...
Oh, my God. I didn't even think that's right.
That's why when Henry was so surprised that he was the traitor. He was like, what? Wait, what? I'm the traitor? Because he wasn't the traitor. It was his alternate that was the traitor. And now he's sitting there looking like he's the traitor, even though he was never there. So I was like, oh, that's what everything kind of comes together, and why his wife, who he didn't know he was married to before, was trying to cover for him. And he's like, what the heck is happening? Why are you being, you know, like, and so all of it worked out really well because now they both basically, and you know what? If Henry is smart, he'll just tell the sheriff what's going on so that they could cover it together. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got to bring Carter in on this.
He's got, because he's not the traitor and he knows he's not the traitor. And just bring Carter in on it, bring Joe in on it, because Carter and Joe, none of them are from that unit. Wait. There's six people. There are six people not from that universe. So all he has to do is bring in the six people not from that universe, and we're done. And all those six people are all the people in authority. So they can cover it. They'll be fine.
Right. But Sheriff Andy. Deputy Andy.
You know, don't tell Andy. Don't tell Andy. Wrong universe. But I really thought that was a really good reveal. Because that was just like... But I'm afraid... If this is a good show, usually they do the right thing, which is he tells everybody. But I always have this fear that they're going to do the soap opera thing where he tries to keep it a secret, which I'm just like, don't do that. But
please don't do that.
But Henry has a tendency to keep secrets, though. That's part of his nature. So I don't know.
That's true. For something like this, like you said, I mean, he'll bring Carter in at the very least. You know what I mean?
I hope so, because he can trust Carter. Yes. Anyway, I thought that was a good plot twist coming together thing, and we only have what, six episodes left or something?
I think less.
Less?
I think we're down to like four.
Why are you depressing me?
I know. See, and the sad thing is, like, on Show's Sci-Fi Channel, over. They're starting to count them down anyway.
That's true.
There's it's like, lot. Please don't tell me. Let me be like in denial till the very end. You know,
until the last episode. All right. So thumbs up. So far, Eureka. This season's been great. I mean, everything's been really good. And every time I'm afraid that they're going to screw my story up, they actually make it better. So,
how many seasons has it been?
Seven? This is season five.
Oh, five. Okay. This is the end.
And this is the end.
All right.
Sad.
You got a lot of catching up to do, Peter.
I'm working on the Mentalist right now, so one thing at a time.
All right. Next up, we want to talk about Lost Girl. And last week, we didn't talk about it, but I want to talk about the body swap one.
Yes.
Just because... It really allowed the actors to stretch and do stuff you never thought you'd see them do.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Such as Tyson commenting on people's shoes and prancing around and jumping up. You could tell that actor was having so much fun.
Yeah.
I love
Tyson so much that I just loved seeing him and having to be Kenzie. It was fantastic.
Yeah, all of that was great. I think that was the best body swap. But Bo ended up in the Bounty Hunter? Yeah, yes. Bo was in the Bounty Hunter, which was weird because that's an actor who's not usually on the show. So I thought that he didn't really capture Bo because you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't feel like that. Like, Kinsey, I felt, was Kinsey, even though Kinsey was in Dyson. So, but I didn't feel like Bo was in that Bounty Hunter.
That was, like, probably one of the roughest ones, you know?
Yeah, because the two actors didn't really know each other that well.
Exactly. Yeah, so they haven't been working together. So that was, it was a bigger challenge for them to do that then.
Right. And I don't know if I bought it. Let me see. Oh, there was a big reveal.
Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say also then Hale, and then also then Dyson's girlfriend. I can't think of her name. They swapped. You know, but again, they're sort of low-key characters anyway, so you didn't really get as good of a feel with them.
Well, other than the kiss, who ended up kissing?
Oh, that's right.
It was a weird kiss. Oh, it was Kinsey's body and, the partner. What's Hale, the partner?
Oh, yeah.
And Hale's body. They kissed, which was strange.
Right.
That was because they're like...
They didn't hook up anyway, you know?
Well, they're BFFs, though. I kind of feel like they're really tight friends. I don't know if I want to see them making out. That was weird. Anyway.
But they're like two sidekicks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Him with his shirt off is pretty hot.
That's true. I'm not going to deny that at all, but...
Kenzie and when Kenzie took that second look.
That's true. There was some interest there. But I thought the plot was okay because it was all about figuring out who the bad guy was in somebody, and they had to figure that all out. Oh, I liked the whole twist when they go see the Ash.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Ash was taken captive by whoever the bad guy was. I forgot his name. And then, it was Bo... In the wrong... Whose body was Bo in?
And then...
It wasn't Bo. It was Dyson in... Whose body?
Kinsey's.
Dyson and Kinsey's body. All right, they did the actual swap. Okay, so Dyson and Kinsey's body work with the Ash to destroy the bad guy because of that was pretty cool. I like that.
Yes. And also, I think what was also really good is that now Kinsey understands, because once you swap the bodies, you get the other person's feelings. So now Kinsey understands what Dyson is going through since his love has been pulled away from him.
Oh,
so
she right.
Has a deeper understand. Yes.
So now she's back on Team Dyson. Because remember, she's always about which team she's on. I was like, what is this, Twilight? She's like getting a t-shirt. She's like, I'm not on Team Dyson anymore. I'm on Team whatever. And I was just like, oh my God. But actually, because of how they do it and because Kinsey's so cool, I don't mind it. And I was like, yes, right. Team Dyson. So it's so weird because I finished the season. And I just can't wait for third season. Like,
Oh man.
How many more episodes of second season are there? There's like...
Believe it or not, there's still 10. I think there's only 11.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so weird. I really must have crunched through those at some point that I went through them really fast. They're good.
Did you?
They're good, but watching them one at a time is strange. All right. Let's move on. Thumbs up, Lost Girl.
Woohoo!
Next up is Rookie Blue.
My first... I actually haven't seen much of this season, but... Normally, when you watch Rookie Blue, it's not a big deal if you watch them out of order, and I had only gotten time to watch the new episode. And of course, this episode, like, one of the main characters barely shot somebody, and, like, he has to undergo therapy, but doesn't really want to do therapy, and then he ends up meeting the woman who, like, brother killed, and I'm like, what's going on here? Like, but it was a good episode. I mean, I actually don't know why I haven't watched it this summer yet. I'll catch up, but I liked it, though, but you said the other episode I've missed was a good episode.
It was very good, because...
Yeah, I just had to watch it.
It was the whole, he shoots a guy, and you see it go down, but you see it from his perspective, and so then when... all the stuff doesn't add up, you're like, well, did he see what he thought he saw?
Wait, do we see it? So we see exactly what he's seen?
Yeah, but there's, like, he thinks that he sees a guy with a gun.
So the guy have a gun?
He says he thinks he sees a guy with a gun, but when they get to, when all the cops get there.
Because obviously there's a body now.
Right, there's a body.
There's no
but
gun.
But when all the cops, there's no gun. There's no bullet hole. None of his story adds up. Like, everything just look, and you're just like, wait a minute.
So what happened?
I'm not going to tell you. Watch the episode. That's what makes the episode really good, is because you don't know what the heck happened. You're like, did he imagine it? And like, I think I told you this before, his main thing was...
I mean, he's not on drugs or anything.
No, but I mean, the thing is, stuff happens so fast. Do you trust what you really saw?
Oh,
you know what
true.
I'm saying? So, and the other thing is, I think I told you this, he goes into the store for like licorice, right? And the guy behind the counter is acting a little weird, but I thought that he drew his gun really fast in that situation. Like,
did
I was
the cop
like,
did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought he drew his gun way too quickly for that situation to a guy. It's like you walk into a guy's shop, he's acting a little strange. You're like, oh, sir, you're acting a little strange. What's going on? And he doesn't speak. And he pretty quickly goes to drawing his gun. And I was just like, he didn't try to calm the situation. He didn't try to, there was like a couple other things I thought he could have tried to do before he went to drawing his gun. So anyway, I thought that was weird. The episode itself is great because you have the entire objective is to figure out what the heck happened. And when you figure, that's the twist. So I'm not going to tell you that. When you watch the episode, you'll enjoy it. But this week's episode was the repercussions of that. Which is he's off duty right now. He isn't cleared to work because he has to get cleared.
Well, he shouldn't work. I mean, he's clearly not in his right head at this point still.
Exactly.
I mean, he still seems off.
He
lied to his girlfriend. And I mean, so.
Oh, and very badly. Oh, man.
Well, technically, he doesn't know.
That she just got that phone call.
That she just got the phone call. So, I mean, technically, he pulled it off okay. But, I mean,
point of courtesy, who the heck answers other people's cell phones? Like, it wasn't the landline.
Yeah, that was a little weird. That's
that was
true.
Weird because that was his cell phone that she answered and took him. I was like, he's got voicemail.
Yeah, because I'm like, even if it isn't a no big deal call, let them leave the voicemail. Yeah, that is weird.
I thought
strange. Then the other case is that, I'm sorry, I don't know the character's name, is she's just been made detective.
Oh.
And it's her first day, and there's like this weird thing where it's like a... It looks like it could be a murder, but it's like they're bridesmaids or something.
Well,
like
no, it was the choices were they thought that the drunk bridesmaids drove a car drove their car, hit another car onto the track, and killed the guy accidentally. That's what it looked like, because he had this huge laceration on his head.
Right.
So
although the car isn't like he got hit by a train or anything. No. It's not like damage. And stuff. No. And part of the issue is that the guy who's in charge of public transportation is like, we got to get that car off the train track. And it's her call, and she's like, all right, fine, move it. And of course, because it's her first, I'm like, that's probably a bad idea. I'm sure she missed something.
First thought is, because I watched all these procedurals, is that the coroner, she's assuming that the cause of death is that laceration on his head. And I was like, you're not the coroner.
Right.
I was like, where the heck is the coroner?
But then, didn't she say that two other people signed off on it, though?
Yeah,
she
but they, none of them were coroners. They were people who did crime scene, like they pick up evidence and stuff. Those guys were like, we're done. But the coroner hadn't gotten there
although
yet.
Technically, even though the coroner's not there, I'm assuming they took pictures and stuff, and even though the coroner goes, oh, this is different, is it really that big of a deal?
I mean, the thing is,
they still have the body, they still have
it could have been evidence that fallen outside of the car. Like, say...
Well, but I assume... I'm assuming those other people checked that stuff out. Like,
right, but they were under the assumption that it was a car... They were looking for a car hits another car and causes
that kind of debris.
Right, that's what they were looking for.
Not a weapon.
Exactly.
Right. Well,
so if
point.
The knife had been left on the train near the train tracks, now
saying.
That's all gone.
I see what you're saying.
So, yeah, so that was a mistake. And I was just like, when she goes to say, okay, fine, you can go, I was like, I think your cause of death is wrong. Like, I just looking at it, I was like, you haven't checked the body at all. I was like, you can't assume that's how he died. Because I watched too many of these shows. But anyway... I thought it was a good showing of her, and it also shows, like, everyone is dating everyone on this show, so it makes no sense that anybody is making rational decisions. So her training officer is her boyfriend.
Right.
Which is insanity, because they're mixed up in, do you trust me because you're my boyfriend, or do you trust me because you're my trainer? Like, all of that is all twisted.
Well, also, don't people also think that that's part of the reason she got the promotion?
Right. And so
then there's all that headache, too.
But I also think that this is the beginning of their breakup.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like she has to establish herself by herself. Because, one, he is a lame detective. Of all the detectives, he kind of sucks. So, there's that. But also, she saw he took the blame, but then he took the credit. So, when she actually ended up... She ended up being the one that solved the case.
Right.
And he totally took all the credit.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, I was like, really?
Also, I like McNally and the blonde girl... I just like all their little banner. The blonde girl who is kind of like she's kind of like the Sandra Oh character.
Yeah,
it's crazy. She's the one who's, but she's got some moment where she's talking to the
I
guy
almost
about.
I can't think of her name, and it's on the tip of my tongue. But
she's got some moment where she's like, "We still best friends? Best friends forever?" I was like, "That's pretty funny."
Because she was like, "Yeah, I totally vomited in your car."
Oh, that's what I mean.
She's like, "I threw up in your car. We're still best friends, right?"
I thought that was funny. I was like, "Oh, that's nice. Like, that's a nice." I mean, that's why I like. That's the lightness of a Rookie Blue. I kind of like that. They're just hanging out.
And I like that they're all friends.
So I'll have to watch last week's.
Yeah.
Let's catch up.
Thumbs up. Next up, talk about Suits.
Woo-hoo.
That was a woo-hoo.
Yes. You brought me into the show, girlfriend.
Yay. I'm glad you love it. I love the dynamics that are going on this season. How everyone is at war. Like, all the battle lines are drawn and people are getting thrown into the mix. And, man, like, Mike doesn't... He understands they're at war, but he doesn't understand. You know?
He feels so naive to, like... I mean, they're all, like, vipers, you know what I mean? He's like the lamb among the vipers, you know?
Right, and he's getting played left and right. But I was like, Mike, the way it works, trust Harvey. Like, that is your go-to.
Yeah.
That should be...
Regardless of the crazy...
Right. Just avoid all the other politics that are going on. Trust in Harvey and you should be fine. And whenever he tries to venture off on his own and work with other people, that's usually when he gets screwed. So he didn't really get screwed this situation. The nurses did. But he
did, because in one sense he felt like he used his grandmother.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? And so, yeah.
But and then there was that moment when there was somebody at his door, and I was like, is Harvey at his apartment? And unfortunately, no, it was the lame, well, she's not lame, I do like her. It's the not-so-girlfriend. And the only thing I have a problem with is I couldn't determine what gave her the motivation to finally take her bar, or the law test, to get into law school. Was it the fact that he... didn't date her, and she feels like she's not worthy of his secrets, so now she's trying to make herself more worthy, or is she like, screw him, I'm gonna prove that I could, like, he's been encouraging her to take the tests all along, so I don't understand where all of a sudden she got this motivation from.
I think, if anything, it's that the fact that, you know, she realized that she figured out there's something going on, and even though she doesn't know what else, I mean, he still likes her, you know what I mean? And so she knows that. She knows there's something holding it back.
But she thinks that taking the LSAT is going to fix that? Like, that seems weird.
No, but I think it gives her this confidence in herself. It's like, okay, I'm not, like, so stupid. I know, okay, I might not know the details, but I know something's going on. And he's, you know, and he's into me regardless. I mean, but there's something holding back. And so it's not so much about him, but about her being able to understand that. It's like, I should be doing this. I am good enough, you know? Well,
oh, okay, so him dumping her made her think she wasn't good enough, and then realizing that he really didn't dump her for what she thought.
Yes,
but that's still weird. I don't know. I don't know if I'm clear on that motivation. That bothers me a little. But okay. The actual story. I love the fact that Jessica is. The greatest line ever. What is that dude's name? the guy, Lewis. When he had the microphone and he was recording stuff, and he's like, "I'm only going to tell you this once." Harvey goes to him. He's like, "I'm only going to tell you this once. You're the man." And the guy happened to have the dictaphone on recording. And so after Harvey walked away, he's like, "Who's the man? You're the man. Who's the man? You're the man." He was like walking around the office, like dancing and spinning around, playing that like over and over again. I was like, that's going to be like his ringtone. It's like, yes, you're the man. Having Harvey say that was so awesome.
And I love how they let it play out. Well, I thought they were going to like keep cutting it. Okay, he said it enough, but he just kept playing it over and over,
and I kept laughing.
Yes,
I really did. I just kept laughing. I was like, "That is really funny." And Lewis is a great character because half of you wants to hate him because he kind of seems sort of slimy and evil, but you realize the slime is just. He can't help it. He just gives off slime. He's not actually slimy. He just looks like, and there's something about his demeanor that makes you think he's slimy, even though he's not. He's actually underneath all of it, a really earnest kind of hard worker. And everyone assumes this stuff about him and he can't shake that image. Like as much as he tries, he can't shake how everybody looks at him and sees one thing. And what I love about this show is we get to see kind of the real Lewis. And part of it is he plays into the image that everybody sees because that works.
Right, because that's what I was going to say. There's some part where he does play into it, but if he goes too far, you know what I mean? You can only go so far with that. And you saw like where he's going over the line. It's like, no, I got to pull it back. And so there's that fine balance that trying to figure out what that is.
Right, and he's playing up images. He's not really being himself. He's being who other people see him as. And what was a trip was he realized that he was calling himself helping the people. He's in charge of not the interns. They're the first years. No, are they interns? Interns or first years? I can't remember. But he's in charge of them, or the associates, as they're calling them. He's in charge of them to help train them. But the way he's training them, the way they see him as kind of like this evil overlord who's making them do all his work. And he's like, no, I'm training you. And then it really hurt his feelings that they couldn't see what he was doing. And the fact that he had to go in there and explain to them, look, I'm giving you work that no other first year in any other law firm is ever going to be able to do. I am training you. I am helping you. I'm helping you learn. If you want to quit and go to another law firm because I'm too hard, I will give you a great recommendation letter. Any takers? And everybody's like super quiet. And he was like, I have these cases that you can learn from sitting here, who wants one? And then he basically turned all of them from hating him and resenting the work he gave them to them all wanting to work for him. And I love that he did that. That was just really, really cool.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's funny how like the whole storyline started out. I forgot which magazine, like they were the second sort of worst environment.
He was like, how come I didn't have number one? I was going for number one. He's like, who do I have to beat? And Jessica's like, you're missing the point. The point is Harvard is now saying we can't have their interns or we can't have their graduates. And they were like, but we are Harvard. Harvard and us, like all they only recruit from Harvard. And she was like, yes, I know, fix this. And so that was his whole, all the speech and everything he did was all about fixing the situation. And I thought he did a great job. And then I liked how he ended it with Jessica. Yeah, like he told, like Jessica was like, "Oh, I love that speech," and he was, she was like, "Yeah," he was like, "Yeah, I gave them a great opportunity. How come you never give me one?" Ooh. Oh, and yeah. I was like, "Oh, that was perfect," because Harvey's her golden boy. Every opportunity she always gives to Harvey, and she he's like the forgotten stepchild, and he's like, "You know what? Give me an opportunity. Let me grow." And I was like, I love Lewis.
This is definitely a Lewis episode.
Yeah, it was. It was really good. Definitely. And it's I like the fact that they make you go back and forth between thinking he's slimy and really understanding him. And I think that's a great show when you get in depth to the character so you can see all the different sides of him. You know? So,
yes, I agree.
Thumbs up.
Yay! All right.
Next. You get 5 seconds to talk about Burn Notice. Go! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
First of all you Burn Notice haters, point here. You know, I'm enjoying this season because I have to admit at the beginning I was kind of burned out on Burn Notice because it was always like, who was the next biggest bad that Michael had to bring down? And so what I liked it about this season is that it really is about, you know, Michael sort of being emotionally invested in getting Fee out of jail. And I like the way that they're playing it because, like, say, in this episode, like, his handler, Agent Pierce, it was the case this week was all about the man who killed her husband getting justice for that. Because what Michael has to do now is he has to...
He's working on the case for Pierce, the woman that we've always seen him working with, her?
Yes, and you got to see a whole different side of her, which was really cool. And so I thought, because now the cases are around, he has to get the right people so he can get Fiona out. And so there's like now a new purpose. Instead of just getting, you know, the people who burned him, it's all about who do I need to connect to get Fiona.
Well, and also Fiona needs to stay alive in prison long enough to get out because she's got on her. But yeah, see, that episode last week was actually pretty cool.
Oh my God, and this one gets even better. She meets a new inmate who's like the one who can get anybody anything and has to do her a favor. And the way, and so she finally gets back to her pyrotechnics, you know, and has to like do a favor.
Oh, only Fee can make a bomb inside of a prison. That's awesome.
Fantastic. You know, and then but the best part about the episode was like the last maybe 2 or 3 minutes, because finally Michael gets a chance to visit her in prison. And of course they're, you know, sort of on the phones with the glass there. But, oh my God, there's just so much that goes on, especially what's not said between the two of them, just the looks and the intensity of, you know, them being separated. And, oh my God, they go back to when they first met. It was just amazing. So,
I know for Fee it's big because they were trying to convince her that he was dead. So now to actually see that he's not dead, because that there was a guy that was interrogating her and wanted her to give up Michael, and she wouldn't. And so then he tried to convince her that he had been blown up. So she actually believed he was dead for probably about an hour, maybe, before she figured out that he wasn't, based on the evidence that he gave her. But after that, she really needed to see him. I know she really needed to see him.
Oh, so God, yeah, definitely.
I'm probably going to watch that one.
Watch that one, because you'll love this one at least. You know what I mean? And then also, because through this new inmate that, you know, has now become like an ally for her, she was able to get a note to Michael, so that way he knows somebody's trying to kill her. And right. So it was really good. You know what I mean? I like that they have her behind bars. And again, the thing I like is that, because I like the characters, but again, they're running out where they're going to go with the story. So I like that
this season is a new story. They're
shaking it up. And Michael, again, it's like, I remember in the podcast last week, somebody said that, you know, they didn't like when Michael turned over the table, but it shows the side of Michael where he's not so cool when he's emotionally invested. So I like them exploring that part of Michael as well.
Yeah, it's just that seemed fake. That's all. I get what they were going for, but that seemed fake.
Okay.
All right, so you're saying thumbs up, and nobody here can argue with you, so we'll just go with thumbs up for that.
Where's Tom when you need him, you know?
No, but Tom is out of Burn Notice, though.
Is he still in on Burn Notice?
No, Tom is out. He doesn't.
Way out, so yeah, so I was hoping like I was going to have a sparring partner, you know?
Next up, let's talk about Tron. And this week's episode was a combination of one of my favorite and also, I think, the dumbest that we've ever seen Beck be. Like, because you know those identity discs on Tron? And basically, this episode shows what happens if you lose your identity disc. Yes. And I was just like, what kind of idiot would lose his identity disc? The answer to that is Beck.
Well, how did he lose it?
He didn't lose it.
It was stolen. Basically, he fell for like this guy was obviously scamming him. I was like, dude, don't trust that guy. Like, it was something about the dude that was really off. And he was just like, just followed this guy for no reason. And just and then the dude stole his disc. And I was like, you're an idiot. And then he has to go to Tron and be like, yeah, somebody stole my identity disc. And the identity disc has all the secrets. Like, it says he's been pretending to be Tron. It tells that Tron is really alive. It shows where he lives. It has all his memories. So whoever has that disc knows everything about what they've been doing. So they're totally screwed. But what you find out is the longer he goes without having his disc, he can eventually become what they call a stray. A stray poor, he will have no memory whatsoever. He'll have amnesia.
Right.
And so Tron is like, all right, we got to get your disc back then. And this was like the first episode where Tron himself actually goes out on the field and does a mission. Like all the other episodes, he's just kind of been training back and helping him out a little bit over, you know, just a little. But this whole episode, it was all Tron. So yes. Tron was like, all right, because Beck was kind of useless. He kept having, they told him he was going to have glitches where he would have.
Is it Bruce Boxleitner doing the voice of Tron?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yes.
So they would tell him Beck is going to have glitches where he'll have no memory for a minute and then he'll get his memory back. But then the lengths of time where he had no memory were going to be longer until actually he would never come back. So he can't really lead. So Tron is really leading the whole episode. It's pretty good.
It was, yes, I really enjoyed it. And it was funny because, of course, he always has the glitches at those moments where he absolutely needs, you know.
Right?
Needs
like in the middle of a fight. Yeah. In the middle of a fight, he forgets why he's holding a gun and who the people are that are trying to kill him. I was like, oh, this is bad. Oh, man. Though, I have to say, the very end was great because Tron has been wearing, like, this hood, this, like, thing where you can't see his face because everybody knows what Tron looks like, right? Hmm. So he can't, whenever he goes out, he can't let anybody see his face. But he needed Beck to remember who he was for like a minute. So he took his hood off so that Beck would know him. And one of their enemies saw him and was like, holy crap, Tron's alive. And she totally just switched sides. She was like, I didn't know this was about Tron. And she's like, she's like, what do you need? And she totally just like flipped from trying to kill them to literally sacrificing herself to save their lives.
Well, she dies?
Yeah. Oh. She was like, well, I didn't know it was about Tron. And if you're alive, you change everything. And she was like, you have to get away. And she just dove in and caused a distraction and helped them escape. Hmm. And I was just like, wow. That's how big a difference Tron makes to that world. And that really kind of emphasized it. And then he gets his disc back, obviously. But it was good. I thought it was a good episode from the Tron perspective. I just realized I've rambled the most. Do you comment, Ronnie, please?
No, I agree with everything you said. I like it also, too, how it also humanized Tron. Because at first, you know, he's like, you know, he was distancing himself from Beck because of what has happened before. And he realized that, no, I do care about him. And in the end, coming through and saying, yeah, no, I care about you as a friend. I just have been burnt before. So I don't want to get involved.
Right.
Yes.
And that was all pretty good because Beck's main complaint was that he felt that Tron didn't treat him like a friend. He treated him very coldly. And he was always like, come on, man, you're supposed to be helping me out. Don't you care about what's going on in my life? And all this other stuff. And so finally, yeah, you find out Tron, yes, he does care. He just is being gruff old man.
Yes.
But it was good. Like, that was probably one of the better ones. Yeah.
Yes. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yes.
Thumbs up.
All right. This one is the next show we're going to talk about is a weird one in that, technically speaking, I'm not sure if we should be talking about it because it has not aired in the U.S. But since I don't know if it ever will air in the U.S., I'm kind of making an exception. It is a Canadian show called Continuum. And I'm going to kind of say, spoiler alert, if you have not seen it. If you have not seen it, are you crazy? Run, do not walk, and go find it and watch it. It is amazing. So, we're going to talk about the pilot only in this episode. I think 5 episodes have aired to this point. And at a later date, I think we're going to just do a Continuum podcast. So that if you haven't seen it, you don't have to. It's not going to be mixed up with the rest of the podcast. Okay, let's start with Peter.
I had heard about it from you and Susie, who's actually not on the podcast right now, and I was like, we'll see what this is. And I'm a fan of Rachel Nichols, who has been on Alias, and she's been in a few movies and stuff. And so the opening, when I saw her, I was like, oh, I totally like her. I'm like, okay. I guess we would say it's wait, did you want to describe the plot?
Let me describe it.
In the future, it's another kind of dystopian future that looks kind of fascist, except that the hook is that it's corporations that are actually the things that rule. Instead of it, like, the government became irrelevant, right? It's the year, I think, 2077. So they've captured a bunch of terrorists, and we're, you know, kind of like Minority Report, we're following this one character who Rachel Nichols is playing, and then all the police people have these really cool suits that basically have, like...
They're like a computer.
Yeah,
like,
it's basically like an iPad if it was, like, material.
Right.
Right. I mean, but
the other catch is it apparently also works as bullet, like a bulletproof
vest. Yeah, that's true,
vest.
Too. Yeah, yeah. So it's a cool suit and everything. So she is there to, you know, she's one of the things. Like, we see an early moment on a train where she takes out some bad guys or some kids or whatever. But the big thing is there's this big terrorist organization. She wants to take them out. She's a mother, she has a husband, and she has a little kid, and they're going to see, I think it's going to be an execution, right?
Right, they're
going
to execute the people, and she's supposed to be one of the guards to make sure nothing happens.
Right, and at the time, because the government is obviously kind of fascist, or not the government, because the country of America is now kind of fascist, as a viewer, I'm kind of like, well, is it that these terrorists aren't really bad, and that this character is going to kind of learn the truth? Because clearly the government the ruling thing that she's a part of isn't really that good. They even say at the beginning, like, we have no more freedom. These are all these things we gave up, like, for, like, safety and stuff. So I'm like, okay. So they're about to execute him, and she's in the room with them, and her husband seems a little worried, which, to my mind, I'm like, why is he worried? What's the big deal?
Yeah, sees her in the... Because she's not... The thing is, she's not supposed to be in the room. Her assignment got changed at the last minute.
Right.
That put her in the room, and as soon as her husband sees her in there, he freaks out. So he obviously knows something's going to happen.
Right, so as a viewer, you're like, okay, what's going to happen? So, obviously, the terrorists have something... Or the freedom fighters have something else in store. This explosion happens, but it looks very time warpy. And,
we don't have to completely sum up.
Well, essentially, she ends up back in our world.
See, that's the hook thing.
That's the hook.
Right.
Which, actually, at first I was disappointed because I liked the future. And I was like, well, now it's just she's the future fish out of water girl. But actually, I still really like it, so.
Ronnie, what do you think?
You know what? And I liked it, but I wasn't enamored by it. Well, I've only seen the first one, you know what I mean? And so I want to see more because they're starting to build. It's interesting, but at the same time, like, it's some of the things I've got to see more to really sort of get into it a little bit more. Like you said, the suit is really cool. And what happens is when they come back to present day, they meet the person who builds the computer system.
Right.
Who's a kid.
Yeah, he's a
kid.
Well,
he's like 20 or something.
Right.
He's not 10,
and so it has an element of, like, sort of terminating. But then what gets me is that her suit still is fully functional. I feel like, you know, there's some parts because, you know, like right now the kid is just building it. And so, you know, and so she connects, you know, to him, and he's like, nobody, this is a prototype. Nobody knows what's going on. So I enjoyed that, but I felt like her suit was functioning a little bit too much. If all of a sudden she's back before all this stuff happened.
Well, you could assume that some of that information is like your computer. If you took your computer back into the past and say it's solar powered, it would still work.
Do they say the suit's solar powered?
Well, no, I'm assuming. Or her.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Or actually, I'm assuming that the suit gets power from her movement. Like, your kinetic energy just moving around and just breathing will give you a significant amount of power.
Okay.
Just assuming the suit works just from her moving around. And like I said, if you had infinite power, you brought your laptop back into the past, your laptop would still work. The internet wouldn't work, but the information you had on your hard drive and all that stuff would still work. And all she's been using the suit for is really analyzing data and stuff like that. So why not? I don't see a problem.
Yeah, but it felt like, you know, because before she was so connected and everything went, you know, sort of like over the internet or whatever they call it, you know, 2077. And so it felt like, yeah, that the suit, I don't know, like you said, because there would be stuff on the hard drive, but it just felt like sort of like when she would connect to different systems. I don't know. Like I said, I'm still like sort of getting into the world. You know what I mean? So
fine.
I enjoyed it. And also I'm still trying to like figure out like what Peter brought up as well about sort of the bad guys versus the good guys. And, you know, it's like, because you think the terrorists are actually, you know, sort of really, you know, sort of on the right side. But then you see like as it unfolds that no, these people, some of them are just like ruthless.
Yeah, they're very violent. Like,
yes,
they're
are.
Very violent.
Well, I mean, I would say that I'm liking it. And I mean, part of it, and I have no idea what Canada's budget for their television shows is, but the production value is not, even though it's very, I think it's clever, because I think the suit is awesome, it's nowhere near as good looking as, like, what we would get for a big budget.
Yeah, if this, if this had been made in the U.S., all the CGI stuff would look perfect.
Yeah, it would look way better. And so there are concessions to the show, and I would agree with you that the pilot, it's not quite clear exactly what's going on, but I've watched a few more episodes. I've watched 3 of the 5. And I'm not going to say what happens, but I know I like it. I do. There's some issues I have, but I mean it's good enough. And the biggest deal is it just feels kind of fresh for a sci-fi show right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we've never seen this before. Like I said, I mean it's kind of like Minority Report and stuff, but like I don't know, it feels fresh. And I think the lead, Rachel Nichols, and her relation, her she basically is talking to the guy who's going to become the big genius Steve Jobs type. She talks to him basically through
through an implant.
It'd be like a Bluetooth, but it's an implant in her brain.
Right.
So they're always, so she'll be talking to herself. Well, it looks like she's talking to herself, and then she's really talking to the kid. And all that stuff I really like. I like her relationship with him, and I'm like, ooh, are they ever gonna meet and everything? Like, I totally like all that kind of stuff. So I mean I'm on board, so I mean I just wanna say I'm not saying it's like the best show ever. Oh, and it's directed by John Cazar, who is one of the guys from 24. So I mean, it's got like a.
I've seen all five episodes, and some of the concerns me and Peter have talked off podcast, I guess you say, and some of the concerns you have are totally addressed in the next couple episodes, and some of them are not. But I'd say,
how many episodes is it going to be? Do we know?
There's 10.
Okay, it's 10. So you're halfway. 10. So
yeah.
Okay.
I like it. I mean, I really think that...
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I really think that the show has... I like all the main characters. I like the cop that she's working with. I like that
Which
he
would be the love interest, but she's technically married.
So that's a little weird. Because he's definitely into her, and she's just like, just consider me unavailable, you know? And he's thinking that, oh, she had some sort of really big breakup, and if I wait long enough, then it'll be okay. And I'm like, dude, that's not gonna...
Yeah.
Like, that's not it. But he doesn't know that, so he's just kind of hopefully like a puppy dog waiting around. But he's cute, so I'm fine with that. I like the guy that's in her ear. Only thing that I'm worried about is the kid's stepbrother and his stepfather. Like, they just seem like such tools, you know? Like, that storyline can easily evolve into something really...
Yeah, that could get lame.
Right. And I really feel like that's where they're going. I'm like, please don't do that.
Actually, that feels a little Caprica.
Oh, okay.
The cults, like secrets cult thing. Yeah, a little like Capricorn.
But so. I feel like they also, but I, what I think they're actually going to tie into is part of the reason that those guys came, the terrorist guys came back in time, was they wanted to build an army to fight the corporations. And I feel like these guys are the perfect guys for them to recruit. So when they actually start recruiting, I think that's how that all is going to tie in. That's my prediction. I don't actually know anything, but that's my prediction on that. And yeah, just it's a good show. Keep watching. That's all. That's all I'm gonna say.
Thumbs up.
Continuum with 2 U's.
Yeah, that's true. Because I looked it up originally. I'm like, I can't find this thing. And then I took Canada. Continue. 2 U's. Yes. So.
2 U's. All right. So that's it for this week. Wrapping up.
Where can we hear this podcast besides iTunes?
You can catch the podcast on KryptonRadio.com. GetThePointRadio.com in Wheatonopolis. And you can follow us on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.